So knowing what I had gone through and what worked and kind of the tough lessons I learned, it became very beneficial to share that with other people so that they weren't struggling through the same steps and they were able to get more out of that contest right from the beginning.
Hi, I'm Tori Mystic, and you're listening to the Wear, Wag, Repeat podcast, the only show dedicated to supporting women in all areas of the pet industry.
Did you ever think that you could raise $10,000 or even $20,000 for a local animal rescue? Today's guest, Jessica Wasik of Bark and Gold Photography, has helped dozens of photographers create calendar contests that raise big bucks for pets in need while also marketing their businesses. In this conversation, Jessica shares actionable advice on how to make a charitable calendar contest mutually beneficial for your business and the nonprofit. That includes how to pick a nonprofit partner who will be on board to help you promote the contest and make it as successful as possible. She also shares a surprising detail about the actual calendars. They aren't the big money maker that you might think they would be for this type of fundraiser. It's all about the entries and voting. If you enjoyed this episode, Jessica developed an online course outlining exactly how to run your own calendar contest. In 2023 alone, all the pet photographers around the world who came together through her calendar contest course collectively raised more than $300,000 for animal nonprofits. And yes, you heard me right, that is just in 2023 alone. Jessica also told me that she has a goal to personally raise $1 million for charity through her contests. You have to set big goals for yourself, advice that she shares towards the end of this conversation. This interview is part of the Q1 money theme here in Wear, Wag, Repeat. It has been so great to dedicate this first quarter of the year to interviews with experts and solo episodes all about making more money in your pet business. I also hosted experts in Wear, Wag, Repeat Society, including Kristen Recupero, who taught us about the profit-first accounting system. And I have been hearing from you that these interviews and guest experts are some of the very best content ever from Wear, Wag, Repeat. I am so happy to be able to share all of these financial literacy resources with you. And it's not over yet. We still have time to go in Q1. I have more solo episodes coming for you later this month. Plus, if you are a member of Wear, Wag, Repeat Society, look for an exclusive bonus episode about how I would implement Jessica's advice from this episode for any type of pet business, not just photographers. If you're not a member yet, join the waitlist for Wear, Wag, Repeat Society at wearwagrepeat.com/society. And if you enjoy this episode, please consider leaving a review on your podcast app or sharing this episode on social media. Before I hit play on this interview, quick question. What are you doing April 10th and 11th? The Dog Gurus are hosting the Business Breakthrough Workshop 2024 in Denver, Colorado. This is an event specifically tailored to pet hotel entrepreneurs. Over 2 days, the expert speakers will help you learn how to attract the right clients, grow your revenue with traditional and creative strategies, how to create a positive community around your business so you can stand out from the crowd, and much, much more. Not familiar with the Dog Gurus? Scroll back in my podcast episode archives to episode 102 with Susan Briggs, co-founder of the Dog Gurus. You can get to know Susan before connecting with her and many more pet care experts at this in-person workshop on April 10th and 11th. Get more info and register at thedoggurus.com. Okay, now let's get into this conversation with Jessica. Jessica Wasik is an award-winning professional pet photographer focused on celebrating the joy and love between Pittsburgh pets and their people. Jessica is a proud certified printmaker, continuing her education on the best ways to create a truly boutique experience for every client. She's also certified as a pet loss grief specialist, which allows her to better guide her clients through anticipatory grief and pet loss grief. In addition to capturing pets through playful portraits, high energy action shots, and small moments in time, Jessica also gives back through her annual pet calendar contest. This contest has welcomed hundreds of entries and raised tens of thousands of dollars for Pittsburgh's local rescues and nonprofits. Hey, Jess, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. We're both in Pittsburgh, but we're still over Zoom.
Yes, of course.
So I'm so excited to have you on the show. I feel like I haven't had very many, if any, Pittsburgh pet people on the podcast, which is too bad because there are so many wonderful pet businesses here. So I'm excited to share you with my podcast audience and to talk about specifically this amazing pet calendar contest that you host. So why don't you, if you don't mind, kind of just start by telling us a little bit about how this calendar contest came to be, maybe why you started doing this and how it works. And then we'll kind of dive into all the details.
Mm-hmm. I started my business back in late 2016. And, you know, you're building your business, you're working and trying to get clients and make connections within your community. And someone suggested to me, why don't you do like a pet calendar contest? And I started thinking this could be really fun. I'll get to meet new clients, photograph dogs, build my portfolio, connect with local businesses, hopefully build some relationships with some charities locally. And so I kicked off my first pet calendar contest in 2017, really just experimenting with what was working and eventually building it out to where it is today. And it became such a really like a founding base for my business because I immediately got 13 clients. I immediately started connecting with local businesses who were also helping support this. These clients are getting in touch with them. And we raised a couple of $1,000 for a local rescue, which felt really, really good because that was, you know, the heart of it is to give back.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been doing it every year since 2017.
Yes.
And what would you say is a lesson that you've learned in doing it all those years?
There have been many. Oh my gosh, on so many different levels with handling the donations, structuring the contest, counting all the votes. And it's really what led me to build out a course for it because there's more involved in it than in just setting up a voting platform, collecting entries, and then photographing the dogs. So knowing what I had gone through and what worked and kind of the tough lessons I learned, it became very beneficial to share that with other people so that they weren't struggling through the same steps and they were able to get more out of that contest right from the beginning.
So I love that you have a course about this. Your course is how pet photographers can create a charitable pet calendar photo contest, if I said that correctly.
Absolutely.
I love how specific it is because people almost every single day, I tell them what I do and they're like, that's very specific. But your course is so niche, but it's gotten an amazing response and you have people going through it or launching their contest right now.
Yeah. And all over, really. The majority would be pet photographers. But even those who are family photographers or who have an interest in just experimenting with photographing pets, it works just as well for them too. So it's growing each year and that's been a really fun thing to see.
Yeah. And so cumulatively, I think you emailed me an amazing number of how much money around the world has been raised through these contests.
Yes. It was $300,000 just in 2023 alone.
That was just in last year.
Yeah, wow. We had 37 contests. Two of those raised over $20,000, and then 10 of them raised over $10,000.
Wow, that is so amazing. So, okay, so people are hearing these numbers, raising $10,000 and raising $20,000 for nonprofits. But it has to be mutually beneficial, because if it's not, I feel like you would get really burnt out by doing this. If you're not, looking after your bottom line and your time and how much effort you're putting into it, because I know these contests are not easy to run. So how can people make this mutually beneficial? Because, you know, I think that as pet business owners, we love to give back, but if you're giving and giving and giving, you can get so burnt out by it. So how can you know, pet photographers or just even pet business owners who want to do something like this, how can you make it mutually beneficial?
Yeah, you're right. As pet lovers, animal lovers, we are so inclined to have compassion and want to give back almost to a detriment of ourselves. So protecting your boundaries around especially your time is crucial. Most of my contests will run between 5 to 8 weeks. So there's a lot of time and energy that goes into just keeping that engagement going, because you've got to be in there marketing it, promoting it, sharing your sponsors, announcing your winners. And it's not easy because there are dips that naturally flow through the contest. So protecting your time has been really valuable. With that, you know, I offer a complimentary session to the winners, and there are 13 of them. So I have to be very cognizant that if my winners are not necessarily in it for what my traditional clients are, which is big wall art pieces and investing several thousand dollars, that I'm not also placing those people in a position where it's more than they're expecting. So I do keep those very short. They're free. They're kind of 10 minutes in and out, and we get their calendar portrait. But for the people who do want a little bit more, there's an option for them too. So they can upgrade to a full session, and I get that session fee and I get that product payment on the back end. And that's really been what's protected my bottom line financially as well.
Oh, okay. So people who, the winning dogs, I guess, and there's 12 months plus a cover. Yeah. Is that right? Okay. So 13 clients, you offer just a quick 10 or 15 minute session to get the calendar picture, and that's no charge to them.
Right.
But if they want to go out there and get some really great artwork that they can hang at home or make an album or whatever, they can upgrade to a full session and then they can purchase the artwork themselves.
Yes. And I'd say about 60% people do end up upgrading, which is really nice because it shows, you know, how much they value this really unique experience that might be just like a once in a lifetime thing for them.
Yeah. But I love how it's not required to upgrade. I think that's really nice.
Yeah, because a lot of people do just want to give back to the rescue, and this is a really fun way to do it. They get support of family and friends, and they're campaigning like crazy on social media. So for them to have that reward of all that time that they put in just to go through and have this great calendar portrait, they're still just as happy.
Right. So if the calendar session is free and then people can upgrade to a full session with you to pay you, how are you generating money for the nonprofits?
Yeah, so it's basically a donate to vote. And the voting fee is very low. It's $1 per vote with a minimum of 5 votes. And the entry fee is $5. So all of the voting and entry fees go right back to our nonprofit. And then we also have a reserve or empty grid space option where people can donate about $10 and they get a month that they like and they submit a photo and I put it on one of the empty grid spaces.
Oh, cool. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So speaking of nonprofits, I was wondering if you could share some insight on how to pick a nonprofit to partner with. I personally was just kind of, you know, wondering about this as I was getting ready to talk to you. You know, is it better to do a really small local nonprofit, or is it better to do something really big and national or international? Do you have any thoughts on that?
The people who I have seen appreciate it more are the local rescues that are a little bit smaller, often foster-based. They don't have maybe the grants and the support of those more national and big-name rescues that we all hear about. But that, you know, a couple thousand dollars or tens of thousands does so much for them. So I would encourage people to look for those smaller rescues. Anyone who has a great following, a lot of supporters that they're out promoting with their volunteers, maybe it's local events, they're great because they're going to be working extra hard to raise awareness. And that's ultimately what we want for that rescue, is to have people aware of what they do and how much these funds make a difference. So really just engagement and someone who's really excited to get behind this project. It's surprising sometimes. I hear from students that the rescues that they're looking at are hesitant to work with them, mostly because they think, you know, it's going to take away from the animals that they're trying to get adopted, but it's all to benefit them. So you want someone who's 100% in on what you're presenting them.
Right. So we, a couple months ago, one of our podcast episodes, we were talking about contracts. Do you recommend that there is like a formal agreement with the nonprofit? Like, do they have to commit to sharing the contest so many times? Or I don't know, I guess, how can you guarantee that they're going to help you promote it? Because it's kind of key to the process that everyone's promoting it.
Yeah, I don't require anything in a written contract of, you know, you have to share so many times per week. I make it very easy for them. I have all of their brand and materials for them to share with press releases, social media posts, flyers, anything that can help them get the word out without requiring extra effort on their part. Because we know rescues are so understaffed, their volunteers are stretched very thin. So we want to make things simple. So just making sure that you have tools that allow that to happen. Also reminding them that the more they support and share it, ultimately, the more they're going to benefit from that as well.
Yeah, especially the way you've designed it with every entry raising money for them and every vote raising money for them. It makes a lot of sense that they would want to share it. But I know they can get very stretched thin because a lot of them don't have, especially if you're working with a small foster-based nonprofit, a lot of them don't even have a full-time staff person at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Even tagging them in your post will help because it's just simple for them to click share and off it goes.
Would an online course be good for your pet business? Online courses are a great way to share your expertise and pet knowledge with a broader audience. Creating a course establishes you as an expert in your niche, and courses are a great revenue stream that can boost your profits. I created a fun 6-question quiz to help you discover if you should add a course to your pet business. Head over to wherewagrepeat.com/course-quiz to get your results. Not sure if your course idea is a winner? I have talked to women on this podcast who have created online courses on a wide variety of topics. Here's just a few examples. How to take better pet photos with your phone, teaching your dog better recall, helping first-time puppy parents, senior dog health, how to start a dog bakery business, dog training for parents with babies or young children, how to create a successful pet photography business, virtual R+ dog training for reactive dogs, how to create a charitable pet photo calendar contest. And of course, you've heard about my courses ranging from Pinterest for petpreneurs to mental enrichment brain games for dogs. I guarantee that you have knowledge and expertise that someone else would really love to learn. So click over to wherewagrepeat.com/course-quiz to see if you should add a course to your pet business. Plus, I'll send you some helpful resources to help you get started.
I love this. These are great tips so far. So one other thing I wanted to kind of get your spin on is this great term, charitable marketing. And I think this is such a great sort of theme for this month in March as we're wrapping up our money theme of our first quarter and talking about charitable marketing. How can you do this well so that it's valuable for your business and also, you know, helping raise as much money as you can? But how can people use their charitable efforts to market their businesses without being sleazy?
Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot of people who enter this just because they love a certain rescue or a cause that you're supporting. So suddenly your name is associated with something that makes them feel really good, which is helping other animal rescues and causes that they appreciate. So, it's marketing, maybe not in the traditional sense of you're putting that money out there to really promote yourself, but down the road, those calendar contest clients may come back and book a full session. People who are voting and supporting this may remember your name when they are looking for a pet photographer. So there's ways to do it without looking like it's only benefiting you, because really this, anything that's charitable, the main component is to give back.
Right. Yeah. So it really is mutually beneficial. I feel like sometimes people do amazing things and they don't talk about it enough. So we don't know that they're doing these amazing things.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel braggy to me. I'm like thrilled to say, we're almost at $87,000 raised locally, because that's so reflective to me of the community that we have in Pittsburgh, especially our pet community. They just love our local businesses who support it. They love rescue. And it's been so fun to see them, sharing their Instagram friends' posts and entries that they're supporting. So it doesn't feel like it's braggy, but I just want people to know how good it can be to do something good for others and still benefit from it.
Yeah. And it's really like the whole community coming together. So it's not just you having to go out and change the world yourself. You're really bringing the whole community together.
Yeah, I definitely couldn't do it without like our weekly mini contest sponsors who get on board. We have a lot of local businesses. They join every year. They come back and people love them. We're able to like promote that business, get those winners in and claiming their prize so that maybe they become a customer of that store as they're browsing.
Oh, tell us more about partnering with the local businesses and these mini contests.
Mini contests are probably my favorite part. We have voting promo days where we maybe have the most new votes within a certain time period. And then we have our weekly mini contest prize winners who, for that week, if they win the most new votes, they get a prize donated by one of our local sponsors. I do try to keep it as local as possible just to support Pittsburgh, but we do have some national companies that will back us, and they must have like a Etsy store that they'll connect them with and stuff. But that really ups our engagement. People compete like crazy to try to win these prizes, and they're really good. They can range anywhere from $25 up to $150. Pet gift baskets. We have candles donated, pet portraits from local artists. It's just so much fun.
And I guess that also is a lot to do with relationship building. You probably have a lot of returning sponsors. But like, how do you approach that? Like when you're just getting started, how do you reach out and ask for that?
I am not a person who loves a cold call. I don't like getting them and I don't like making them. So for me, I've found a lot of success building relationships slowly, a lot through Instagram. I will like and follow and share their stories and comment. And then over time, you start getting on their radar. So when it is time to maybe put out a feeler for who wants to support this, they kind of are like, oh, I know you and I'm happy to help you. So it's been really good to just slowly build those relationships.
Yeah, very nice. I'm a big fan of that. Just like I tell this to pet influencers too all the time. If they want to work with some brand, start replying to their stories and interacting with them and just become friends. And then, you never know what will come from that.
Right, right. It's been, that's what's really helped with keeping the people coming back each year, because they're watching and they are so happy to make something good happen for me and for those rescues, because often our rescues have really great connections as well. So if you kind of dig around and you see who are they following, who's supporting them, that can become somebody that you also want to reach out to.
So it can kind of create like this whole little ecosystem of nonprofits and local businesses, and you are kind of the center of the spoke of the wheel.
Yes, I'm just like the facilitator for all the good stuff that's coming our way.
I love it. That's amazing. So this is all amazing, but I've run some contests in my day, and I know that you must have rules for your contest. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the rules, and maybe if there's any, I know in my experience, sometimes year to year, I have added new rules because of people.
Yes. I can tell you which each person made each rule. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
So what are some examples of some of those rules that you find are important now?
Yeah, for me, I like one pet per photo, just because one pet is another entry. If they have multiple pets, it's an extra entry. So that's more money for the rescue. We don't like people in our photos. We just want to keep it all about the pets. For my time, to protect that again, I do require that they have to come to a predetermined location on predetermined dates to have that complimentary session. I've got, oh my gosh, so many rules, and they're all spelled out in my course. So I break down pretty much everything that you could have ever encountered in building this out. I do ask the rescue to input their bank account information, because I recommend that nobody touches that. I don't want to have any hands in on the rescues. And the contest platform. Yeah, the contest platform will help really make all of this very seamless. So you just set it up and off you go.
Right. Have you ever had someone not show up for their complimentary session?
No. I'm a lover of automation and efficiency. So I make sure that they're getting multiple email, text, every kind of reminder under the sun. So no, they're pretty much in it because if they don't come to that, they're automatically forfeiting their spot and it's going to our next pet in line. So they don't want to miss out on that, especially if they worked really hard to win, you know, one of those top 13 spots, because a lot of money goes into to holding those places.
Yes. And okay, so then I'm just kind of piecing this all together. So then once you've done the sessions and everything, then you sell the calendar. Mm-hmm. How does that work? And is that also a fundraiser, or is it kind of a split, or how do you do that?
The calendar sales are tricky. I will tell everybody up front, they do not bring in nearly as much as the actual contest does. So you're looking at maybe a couple hundred to a little bit over 1,000, at least in my experience. It's icing on the cake. But I do want people to be, you know, buying that and supporting the rescue. So what I do is, because I'm unsure of how many I'm actually going to sell each year, I just have it be a print-to-consumer type of sale. I use a website, design it on there, and then when someone wants to order it, they can place that order and it will ship right to them. And then the money is distributed quarterly right to the rescue.
Hmm. Did you, when you started, were you ordering a stack of calendars and you kind of figured this out?
No, I was like, I don't want to even have to be stuck with all of these because, you know, they're only good for a year. If I don't sell them, I'm now.
Exactly. It's not even a year. They're good for like January.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, so that's so interesting. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that a lot of times people think, oh, you know, I'm going to do this whole thing and then I'm going to sell these calendars and we're going to make so much money. But it's really kind of front loaded on the contest.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's not about the calendars, but it's really not about the actual product of the calendar. They're fun, but it's that contest itself and all the engagement that we're getting and the word of mouth marketing through that really raises probably 90% of the funds.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And it reminds me, I used to work for a local magazine and I learned a lot about the magazine industry. And at the time, and I think a lot of people might think this, or I don't know, magazines aren't that popular anymore, but I think people think that they make their money with their newsstand sales, but they don't. They make all their money off of the advertisers or sponsors. So it's kind of, this is kind of reminds me of that a little bit.
Yeah, very much so. The most people who are buying it are the ones in the calendar, or they're gifting it for friends and family. So a couple here and there will come from an outside source, but really it's the contest itself.
Yeah. Well, and it's very smart to do the print on demand. And again, with the automation of having the automatic payouts to the charity, you're on it.
Yeah. I had a bad experience my second year in which my bank account got hacked and suddenly all this money, tens of thousands that was set aside for the charity, just vanished. Of course, I get it back because it's protected by the bank, but that stress of not knowing where this money went, how soon it was going to get back, it was a nightmare. And I said, I will never handle money again for this. Like, it's going to go straight to that charity.
Oh, wow. That's a big lesson to learn.
Yes. Yes.
So speaking of the money, since that's our theme here, do you recommend that people set a goal, or do you just like try to get as much as possible? Or, you know, what do you recommend people do?
I say set a goal and set it big, because your supporters will for sure try to push to get to that goal. And if you hit it midway through the contest, bump it up. You can always go in and make it bigger. I've had a $25,000 goal for the last few years. We've got to 21,000 a few years ago, and we haven't come close to hitting it yet, but I keep it there because I really want to strive to get people to donate as much as they can.
Yeah, you're right. It's just that like psychology of however big something is. There's some sort of saying, I think, about like something physics related. I can't remember.
Coretta's principle, yes.
Yes. So it's kind of like whatever your goal is, people will try to fill it. Like how much of a time you allow yourself for something, you will try to fill it with whatever. So set it big. I like that for not just your charity contest, but just like your business in general too.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you're putting out there, I think the universe is kind of going to give you ways to get there. So don't aim small. Just always go for whatever, you know, as crazy as you can dream.
Yes. Well, now I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Do you also set a goal for for the upgrade sessions of, do you set a financial goal or a number of sessions you want to book for that, for the upgrades?
I would like to book about 60% because that's what consistently is like my turnover for that. But financially, as long as they're falling in line with usually my typical client sales, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. So you kind of know what to expect. As long as you get about 60% of people to sign up, it's kind of predictable.
Yeah, very much so.
So it all comes down, you got to know your numbers and know like your average order value, right?
Yes. And I love numbers. I hate math, but I love money. So I've got spreadsheets and all my cost of goods. It's fascinating to me.
Yes. It's so important. Just even if like, I would say I also hate math and I'm just not, I don't have that brain. I'm a creative person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure you are too. So, you know, you need to just dive in though and get to know those numbers because the more money we make, the more of an impact and a difference we can make.
Absolutely. My goal is to hopefully hit $100,000 collectively, ideally in the next 2 years. But my big, awesome dream goal would be $1 million.
For
charity.
Contest?
Just for charity is all through every charitable marketing effort. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, everyone help Jess get to her $1 million goal. I love that.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. So tell us about, we've kind of touched on this course, but where can people go and who is it for, the course, just to be clear?
Mm-hmm. So you can buy the course through the Hair of the Dog Academy, which is specific to craft photography now, mostly for pet photographers, and that is organized by Nicole Begley. Right now it's available for $497, and really it's designed for any person who wants to launch their first calendar course. It's got everything you could imagine to get you started. So we have a video walkthrough, a PDF book with planning timelines, email templates, contest rules. I have all the social media swipe files in, so you can just pop in and tweak them to your brand or the Rescues brand. And then I also host two live coaching calls. So anybody who's struggling can get their questions answered almost in real time as they're working through their own contest.
Oh, nice. And you've had people all over the world do this so far.
Yes. Australia, the UK, Canada, all throughout the country. Yeah, it's wild.
Side note, there's so many awesome pet photographers in Australia. I want to go there just to see them.
Yeah, my business coach is down there and it just blows my mind that she runs a $500,000 studio. It's awesome.
Yeah, Australia, they've got lots of cool dog stuff. It must be such a dog-friendly place, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of like Pittsburgh.
Like Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would rather go to Australia.
Well, we're pretty dog friendly here, but, you know, we also have Pittsburgh weather.
Yeah, I was like, I'm picturing like beach, surfing.
Oh, yeah. They went out on that then.
I guess that's probably not all of Australia, though. It's a big country. So
it is. Yes.
Okay, Jess, well, this was so fun. Thank you so much for sharing this and like sharing the real numbers and just great advice for people because it's really attainable to raise $10,000 for charity this year. Think about how amazing that would be to say my business raised $10,000 for charity.
Yeah. And during the pandemic, sometimes I was hearing this is what kept us afloat. So it does a lot of good, even if it doesn't seem that big to you.
Yeah. Even raising $1,000 would be a huge help to some of these nonprofits.
Exactly. Yes.
So where can people go to find you specifically? We already talked about the course, but where can people find you?
My website is barkandgoldphotography.com. I'm on Facebook at Bark and Gold Photography and Instagram at Bark and Gold Photography.
Awesome. And I'll put all of those links in the show notes. I've also had Nicole Begley on the show, so I'll link to her episode. It's way back. I think it's in like the double digit numbers. Now we're in the 300s. So it was a while ago, but it's still a great episode. So I'll share that as well. She runs the Hair of the Dog Academy. And thank you so much, Jess, for being a guest and for sharing your insight.
Thank you so much.
Some of the best conversations happen after the episode. Send me a note on Instagram at wearwagrepeat or find even more women petpreneurs to connect with in our private Facebook group called Wear Wag Repeat Labs. If you want to dig into more episodes, resources to grow your business, or find a link to something we discussed, it is all right there for you at wearwagrepeat.com. I'll see you back here next Wednesday for a fresh conversation.